What is the role of an undergraduate education in the modern world? To what degree does the traditional university model actually impart wisdom and usable knowledge? And to what degree does it serve as capitalism's gatekeeper? Moreover, do the nostalgic trappings of bright college days do anything but serve as an enticement to a lifetime of debt? All of this in a funny slug in Monsters University, which was the number one movie in America.
The number one movie in America. The number one movie in America.
Whoa, number one.
The number one movie in America.
Number one.
The number one movie in America.
Oh, wow, number one.
The number one movie in America.
Number one.
The number one movie in America.
Number one.
The number one movie in America.
Hi, my name's Sean. I'm one of the hosts. What do I say at this point? It's the number one movie in America. I'm here with two ghosts waiting for a moment of Whoopi Goldberg's time. It's Camille Adams.
Hello. I would love a moment of Whoopi's time.
and Robin Hitchcock.
Clay, clay, clay.
Man, who knew when we tackled 1990 rom-com spooky drama Ghost that it would become our fourth favorite movie in the history of the show?
That's news to me, really. It is. If somebody had told me that out of the list of all of the movies that we have watched, that Ghost would have been number four, I would have been like, you're a dirty liar.
I think that part of it is, like, we were feeling good. Episode 100, Tony was here. Sure. But also, it goes to show that sometimes, particularly with very, you know, we deal in commercial entertainments here. Sometimes the best thing to do is just to not do anything wrong. There's not really anything wrong with Ghost. So, well, overall, it is now fourth on the big list at 88 points. That is technically a tie with Pulp Fiction at number three. Pulp Fiction wins that tiebreaker thanks to me giving Pulp Fiction a 93 score. Our updated top 10, Fight Club is going to be hard to touch. Fight Club is at 92 and one-third, followed by Alien, Pulp Fiction, now Ghost at 4. Speed is 5. Ocean's 11. The Fugitive, Purple Rain, 7, no longer 7th, now in 9th. And E.T. is 10th. So congratulations to Ghost. And look, I groaned too loud when we landed on Monsters University, because there's nothing really wrong with Monsters University. It just
is
felt anticlimactic.
Yeah. Yep.
It's here.
Yeah. Yeah. Yep. Yeah.
This was a film.
Exactly. There were characters.
Dialogue.
Is this our third Pixar and they're all sequels? Did we do Incredibles 2 and Finding Dory?
And Toy Story 4.
I think so. Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Tony is one of those people who rides hard for the lesser Pixar canon, apparently.
Yeah, it's like, fucking original. I'm not here for that.
No.
Did either of you end up watching the original Monsters, Inc. in prep for this?
I did. I watched it first, and then I watched The University, which I'm glad I did. I mean, you don't have to, because there's not a lot of callback jokes in there or anything like that, but it was more entertaining to me than The University.
It gives you some buy-in to the characters, which I think helps, because they're kind of not super likable in Monsters University. Like, in particular, Sully is like a total piece of shit.
Yeah.
what was, Camila, had you seen either of these before?
Mm-mm. I had no interest in them at all.
Robin?
I saw Monsters, Inc. when it came out, and I don't think I've seen it since then. And I did watch Monsters University, I think, when Disney Plus first was a thing. I think that was when I first watched it. But, like, I didn't remember it. Like, you know.
It's forgettable.
Yeah, it's super. Like, at one point, I commented on it, you know, spoilers for the plot summary. When they cheat in the scare games, I was like, well, this doesn't make any sense. And Colin's like, oh, you forgot that they're cheating. And I was like, yes, I did.
It's just, I've never seen Monsters, Inc. I toyed with the idea, but it's awards season, everybody. So I had other stuff I had to watch. And I'm sure Monsters, Inc. is good. I did see this. as I think this came out, I think 2013 was the first year for which I voted on things. So I have an outsized memory of getting a copy of Monsters University and a nice leather-bound MU notebook and Pixar pen. So, like, I deliberately sat down and watched it, and then at the end I was like, okay, yeah. I laughed 4 to 6 times,
right.
And some of the animation was good. Okay. This is in a lot of the reviews, and we're getting ahead of ourselves, but here's the general point. With the Disney family of brands, with Disney and Pixar, and I would extend it to Marvel and Star Wars, they've raised the bar so much. Like, they have, you know, done so much to establish when we put out a movie, it is going to bottom out at pretty good.
Right.
That when it's just an okay movie, that, like, if DreamWorks made it, you'd be like, that was cute. When it's right, Pixar, like, doing that, you're like, oh, what a letdown.
I recently saw one of the Hotel Transylvania films, and it was about this good, and I had a better time watching that.
Interesting.
Because I was like, this stupid piece of shit Adam Sandler movie. Oh, it's actually kind of cute. You know what I mean? Whereas it's a Pixar movie, and it's like, okay, cool.
Like, thanks for trying. I don't know.
Yeah.
Well, before we get into it, in like 10 minutes, I'm just going to ask both of you about your college lives, because what else is
I
there
know.
To say?
It was not like this. That was one of my big things. It's like, does this college experience actually exist, or is it just the movies?
What? Joining
no.
fraternities and shit? Or
yes.
Or trying like, really hard? I don't know. Like, I don't know.
I think that I kind of mean fraternities. I mean it feeling like high school on steroids.
Mm.
Like, I went to Pitt. You know what I mean? Like, there's no campus. Like, and I spent my time in a basement with a bunch of improvisers. So,
yeah,
can I just make a quick aside before we get into things about the improv joke in this movie?
I left room on the format sheet for you to make this point, so yes.
Okay, free improv lesson for everyone. You don't improvise hosting, okay? So the whole joke is that he is failing in the middle of his, he like loses his speech in the middle of his spiel, join the college improv club. That's hosting. You prepare hosting. Improv is about reacting to your scene partner. Yeah.
It's curious that whenever there's an improv, I'm making fun of improv joke in the movies, it's usually inaccurate. And like, yeah, the people who make movies are the only ones who know how improv actually works, because they live in LA and are surrounded by desperate improvisers 22 hours a day.
Right. Or you would think half of them had been improvisers themselves, especially if they're in comedy.
Right. I think that maybe a lot of them took a improv class 10 years ago, and they like remember it. And then the people who got like really into improv, who made it in the industry, are like dorks, and they don't want to be like, actually. But I don't know. We should ask Christine Nangle.
Right.
Right. Well, having defended the art of comedy and the truth therein, Robin will now tell you what happens in Monsters University. Ready and go.
It's Revenge of the Nerds plus monsters minus rape. Okay, I'm going to actually do a thing. Mike Wazowski is impressed by scares on a school field trip to Monsters, Inc., so he enrolls in Monster University's scare program. Sully also shows up as a legacy jock and joins the cool guy frat Roar Omega Roar. Sully and Mike get kicked out of the scare program for laziness and lack of scariness, respectively, but enter the scare games competition under a new fraternity of misfits called Oobsma Kappa. They win, but only because Sully cheated, because he lacks faith in Mike and also, I guess, has no morals. Mike Wazowski sneaks into the real world to prove himself, gets trapped in a summer camp, Sully goes to save him, they work together to make it out, they are expelled from MU, but get jobs in the mailroom at Monsters, Inc. Higher education is a scam.
Excellent. 40 seconds for a brief fake out, quickie one, and then a pause, and then an explanation, and then the actual one. Not a lot happens in this movie, so why is it 105 minutes long with relatively few gags? That's my question.
I like the big takeaway here is, higher education is a scam, because yes.
Sean, like, when you did your opening, I was like, oh, you're spoilers for my summary.
Yeah. Sorry. It's, I mean, obviously that, like, what is the purpose of higher education? It's, that's not what this movie is about. But in lieu of that much going on in this movie, if you're, you know, mid-30s and your college loan debt is about to come back after our two-year break, you are just sitting there going, like, why did I do that? What did I pay for?
Right.
What did, and I teased this in there. This is what I was actually getting mad about. You are inundated with, you know, the brand of your college, right? Mm. The sweatshirts and the, you know, everything they... Every letter they send to you, you know, kind of trades on this Hogwarts-esque, you're going off on this journey to this magical place of knowledge. And that's all just bullshit to make sure that, like, you have an emotional attachment to your undergraduate alma mater in your head so that, you know, one, you complete your education and thus they wring all of that money out of you. And two, how absurd is it that, now I'm on a rant, for the rest of your life, you'll get letters like, hi, would you like to donate? Donate? I paid you $120,000.
Right.
What did you do with that money? Kids are doing it every year and you need me to give you more money?
It is a real slap in the face, their little donation things. And I still get them from my my high school, too, that I paid tuition at and worked in a program in order to also, like, pay on my tuition as well. It's like, y'all motherfuckers need to leave me alone.
I honestly don't understand this with colleges. I should call my uncle. He's an associate dean. Like, when you talk about how healthcare is a ripoff, I understand where the ripoff money is going. The ripoff money is going to pay the salaries and create the jobs at these giant healthcare systems, and doctors are very highly paid. Where does the college money go? Like, I know it costs a lot of money to, like, house and, like, facilities cost money, but, like, professors don't make that much money. Right. Like, where does
athletic department?
Right. It's like, and also it's like, you're, as a college student, you don't get shit for free. Like, everything, like, barely anyone, no. Unless you're being courted by the athletics department.
I went to college for free. Thank you, Pitt. I still don't give them money.
Right. I really think it's one of those, like, giant rolling beasts where it's like, you know, the more that they build themselves up, the more that people go there and give them money so they can keep building themselves up even more and have even fancier ad campaigns and buy TV commercials during the Peach Bowl and, you know, college, man. Here are some facts so I don't just start keep saying this for the next 30 minutes. Monsters University, the prequel to Monsters, Inc. It was released June 21st of 2013. It was the 21st number one movie of the year. $82.4 million in its opening weekend. Overcoming solid competition from World War Z, the acceptable Brad Pitt zombie movie, came in second with $66.4 million. Monsters University was a two-week number one movie in America, won the next weekend with $45.6 million. The Heat, with Melissa McCarthy and Sandra Bullock, debuted in second at 39.1. White House Down debuted in fourth with 24.8. Oddly, or significantly, I guess, Monsters University was dethroned in week three by Despicable Me 2. Mm. And Despicable Me 2 opened higher, opened to $83.5 million, just barely, but still, sequel to an Illumination property beat the sequel to a Pixar property. That the Minions, that was peak Minion about 2013. Mm. Monsters University stayed in the top 10 for 5 weeks, earned a total of $268 million. That's a respectable seventh place for 2013. It does represent a loss to both main Disney and Illumination, because Frozen was third that year with $400 million, behind only Hunger Games Catching Fire was one, Iron Man 3 was two, Frozen was third, and Despicable Me 2 was in fourth with $368 million. Was this, I'd have to look at the full chart, was this like, uh-oh, Pixar's in trouble? Was this one of those periods?
I have no idea.
I don't remember.
Yeah, they just kind of like rise and fall. And this was not long after Disney and Pixar, like, for a minute, Pixar was separate. Then it became one thing again. Like, animation people are really concerned with the ins and outs of who's making what movie and how well they're doing and who's seeing what. And I'm kind of like, that cartoon was cute or not.
Yeah.
It's weird to me how well Illumination is basically Despicable Me and The Secret Life of Pets. And I think The Boss Baby, or is The Boss Baby DreamWorks?
I think The Boss Baby is DreamWorks.
So Illumination,
Illumination also did Sing! Exclamation point.
Yeah. So they're around, and their stuff like is like, you know, never not entertaining, but I have no connection to it. Right. And they all make hundreds of millions of dollars.
It's just that many kids being born in the world. Just that many parents just throwing shit on. And I get it. Oh, I get it now. You throw on a two-hour-long thing and hope to God it'll keep them quiet for the, at least 90 of those minutes.
I babysat last weekend, and Perry cries when his parents leave, like a two-year-old does. And right. Colin was like, "Oh, well, we'll put on Zootopia," and he was starting to put it on like as Abby and Mike were putting on their coats, and I was like, "No, no, 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 no! You wait. They leave. He starts crying, and then da 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 da, you know." And that plus throwing a ball in the air worked like a charm. Stopped crying.
Wow,
it was great.
That's good.
Last night I was I literally was in charge of my friend Renee's baby Levi for 4 minutes while she went to the bathroom at Eaton Park. And Levi like started to cry, but then I kept doing an Oscar the Grouch voice because there was an Oscar the Grouch on the table. And Levi made it clear that I was not doing a very good Oscar the Grouch voice. But wow. that distracted him. Like, that was the distraction. It wasn't like, "I'm entertained by your performance." It was like, "You can't do that voice very well."
Right.
You
know, it was the judgment. Yes. Yeah. He was here to judge you.
He was occupied by judging me. What are we? Monsters University. Ninth overall among the Pixar movies. This is the ninth top grossing Pixar film. Incredibles 2 is number one, $608 million, followed by Finding Dory and Toy Story 4. That's what Tony was doing. He was top. The lowest grossing is The Good Dinosaur, which Robin pointed out is the forgotten one, even more than Monsters University is the forgotten one. Good Dinosaur only made $123 million. We are, of course, ignoring Soul and Luca, which were streaming only pandemic releases. But surprisingly, Monsters University made more money than Cars, WALL-E, Coco, and Ratatouille.
Hmm.
I guess people saw this movie?
Really? It made more money than Coco? I really like Coco.
Coco was so good.
Coco's great. And it's recent. This is what, 4 or 5 years before Coco?
Yeah.
So, like, Coco has an inflation advantage. Have you ever in your life before this moment had a conversation about Monsters University?
No, never.
Monsters Inc. did out earn Monsters University, even though it was 12 years earlier, just barely. Monsters, Inc. made $289 million. And finally, a lack of expensive baubles. Don't play the sound, there aren't any. This was the first Pixar film not to be nominated for either an Oscar or a Golden Globe.
Wow.
Damn.
It was nominated for a BAFTA and a Critics' Choice Award, lost both of those to Frozen, obviously. Cars 2 was the first Pixar film to miss the Oscar nomination, but still got a Globe nomination. This was the first one to not get either. So congratulations on your mediocrity, Monsters University. I have so few notes about this movie.
I literally took nothing. I wrote nothing down.
So what I'll say is that Colin really likes this movie.
Really?
Okay.
Yes.
Does it speak to him about his own university experience?
I don't know. I mean, Colin was a jock.
Was he?
Yeah, Colin was a Division I athlete.
Doing what? What sport?
Cross country.
Okay, that makes sense.
I love how incredulous you are.
I don't even know him. That's like, my bad. No, I'm not trying to be shady.
I don't know, maybe, you know, like he did Edward 40 Hands in college, so like I think that there's some amount of,
what the hell is Edward 40 Hands?
Oh, it's exactly what it sounds like. It's you duct tape 2 40s of malt liquor to your hands and you have to finish them.
Mm-hmm. Right on.
Yeah. There's
my ignorance.
It's treated as like that's what's going to happen. If you correct. Don't finish these,
you
we
just
didn't
have
take them that far, so finish them.
Right. Well, it's like if you don't finish them, they're attached to you forever.
Right.
Yeah. So anyway, maybe that's part of it. I don't know. He also, like, we talked a lot about how this movie is Revenge of the Nerds. And I think that Revenge of the Nerds is one of those movies that Colin liked as a kid and then watched it as a grown up and was like, he just raped that chick and is really upset by. And so he's like, yay, an untainted version of this story that I like. That's my best guess. But, you know, when it was over, I was kind of like, eh. And
he had already bought like all this Monsters University merchandise. And he's like, what? He's like,
he was making a mural in our bedroom. And I said, I was like, well, you know, like, this is a story about how it's hard to be a nerdy white guy for Mike Wazowski. I mean, they're monsters, okay, but like, they're
Wazowski.
And Sully, like, I do not have sympathy for how hard it is to be a legend's son.
Right.
Right. And like, Sean, I'm sure you've had conversations with people who are like, I know your father and I expect a lot from you. Like, has that shaped your personality in a meaningful way?
No. At best, it's like a vague and occasional annoyance.
Mm. Like, right.
Like I mean, there's the most, if you're in Pittsburgh, the most direct analog is Selena Pompiani, who is also the in the media child of a sports figure in the media. Mm. And like, I had a conversation with her once where it was like, man, isn't it annoying that people assume that you know everything about the Steelers too? Like, like that's the level at which, you know, it's not like, oh, the crushing burden of, no.
I mean, exactly. You know. It's exactly.
Something different, or just accept your privilege and thrive. Those are your two options.
Right. It is such a baffling backstory choice to make to me.
I'm confused as to why they decided this was the route to go for a sequel. Like, yeah, let's take them to college. Like, our main aim is children as our target audience who have no reference to anything about this, who won't give a shit about college or know half of the so-called quote-unquote jokes that are going on in it. And like, it just seems like an odd choice. Like, I would have gone more towards like maybe revisiting the Boo, like that was a cute story. Like, I like that. Like, I wouldn't go so far as to say I want to watch it again, but the original one, I enjoyed my time with it, and we have parted ways, and it's fine. But it just seems like an odd choice, this university, to go for the sequel.
Counterpoint, child Robin loved the movie Back to School, as you'll recall.
Right. So, right,
it also exists in this, possibly only in the movies, college.
I mean, I'm not to say that, you know, just because it's, you know, college setting, that it just seems like out of all, like, what were the rejects? What were the rejected storylines? That's what I'd like to know.
You know, I get hung up a lot on, here's why this plot driver is dumb and annoying. But in this case, it's like, oh no, will these two learn how to scare? Yeah, there was a whole movie about it. They're going to be fine. Like, there's no tension to what's going. And you would say, oh, it's a kid's movie. Do you need tension? Have you seen every other Pixar movie where everyone might die at any moment? And this one is, I wonder if these two, who we already know are successful in their careers, will become successful in their college lives. Who cares?
Right.
And then they don't. They get expelled.
And it doesn't matter.
Yeah. I know. And they just go on and work their way up the ladder. Like, okay.
Also, like, I want to go back to the point that I made in my plot summary, where when they cheat, so I didn't get too far into it because of the time crunch. Basically, it's Sully changes the difficulty setting on the final scare evaluator so that Mike gets an off the charts scare score, even though he was not particularly scary. Mike is so wounded that Sully didn't have faith in him. He does not care about the underlying ethics of cheating.
Right.
Nor is he concerned that he's not scary. Like, shouldn't he be having this crisis of like, oh crap, I'm not scared? Like, he's just like, no one believes that I'm capable. You're not. Sorry.
Yeah.
We talk about this in comedy from time to time. It's like, and then eventually, if you're not funny, you're not funny. Like, some people just aren't. And wouldn't that have been an interesting thing to explore in the movie, other than, like, can they win the big competition?
Yeah, I kind of thought
my heart that I'm funny.
I mean, they have, the whole thing is that there's a scare program. So I'm assuming there's other programs. And I thought we were going to probably explore that a little bit more. And like, since, again, like, we know that Mike is not a scarer, in the like he doesn't go on to be as scared that I thought, yeah, like Sean's saying, that we might see him trying out these other things, whatever else that the monsters do.
The scene where it's like, we're gonna learn about the history of scare canisters or whatever, scream canisters.
Yeah.
That's it. Listen, I feel like we are like shitting on this movie, which like is fine.
It's an acceptable movie for a 5-year-old, I'm assuming. Yeah.
Or college.
It's funny sometimes. There's good opportunities for like slapstick setups. I love the like football game gag where the ball is just handed off back and forth to increasingly large monsters. Mm. You know, there's things that there's little bits that work. I like their fraternity brothers. That's a good kooky cast of misfits. The voice cast is good, except for John Krasinski as the like cool scarer at the beginning. Because I wanted to be like, hey, I know that you're not like a professional voice actor, but like you can do a little bit. You can you cannot just be Jim for these 4 minutes that you have to be here. Put a little bit on it. Yeah, he was Jack. He was eventually Jack Ryan. I never watched that, but I assume Jack Ryan isn't just Jim again.
I think he kind of is.
Yeah. I have no idea. But Nathan Fillion, yeah, he's always spot on for that doucher guy that just knows everything and wanted. I am the winner. That's yeah. Nathan Fillion.
He's so good in that role of Nathan Fillion, the cartoon character. My favorite joke in the whole movie is Randall Boggs taking his glasses off and slowly squinting. Yes.
That was probably
and that's the only thing that having seen the original really gave
right.
me.
Yeah. Same. And I thought there would be more of stuff like that, but there was not. I think my favorite gag is when the pig, I keep wanting to call him a pig, the pig monster, I guess, his mom drops everybody mm-hmm. off and she's like, I'm just gonna be sitting here listening to my tunes, and then she like puts on this death metal.
I'm glad that she got together with Joel Murray as the senior student. That's
that
nice.
Was cute.
That's adorable.
That was that whole like exchange was cute of, you know, this is so embarrassing. I'm just like your brother who's married to your mom. That's all. That uncomfortable awkwardness.
I wanted the slug gag to go on even longer.
How can it go past the post-credit scene, Sean?
I wanted to cutting to it during would have ruined the post-credit scene, but I wanted the initial scene to be a good 2 minutes.
Oh,
like,
okay.
We're just not, the world keeps turning around him and he's just still running. Anything about, you know, someone trying really hard to be fast and not moving. I don't know. That's just comedy gold to me. I guess we can, I feel like we've barely talked about it, but what is there to say? I mean, we hinted at it, but I do want to know, how do either of you have like relationships with your college years beyond like, that's where I was then? I don't get college. If you want to watch a football game and cheer, fine. But like the people who are like, ugh, college days, I don't get it. I do not.
I think mine was kind of split into two parts. So I went to an actual university for 2 years. And like, Robin, you were saying it's like high school on steroids. Yes, that was exactly like high school on steroids for me. Those first 2 years, mostly because it was still in my hometown. There were a lot of still like high school associates that also went there. And I still was like, felt just like displaced and like I didn't belong anywhere. Just kept trying to like figure it all out. And then I transferred to the Art Institute of Pittsburgh. And those 2 years were better socially and also personally for me, but I feel like I should have been warned that I was basically on my own where the learning comes in.
Yeah. You can't exactly, you know, go revisit those days since the right. university folded and, you know, no longer exists in any way.
Right. I mean, there's like maybe there's like a half a handful of people that I went to school with that I'm still like friends with, and I would still consider like real homies or whatnot, and I would like call up or go to their house or whatever, but for the most part it's never. I don't have a bunch of AIP shit hanging around here. I don't have a University of Toledo pendant on my wall or anything like that. I don't even have like my high school shit. Like I have a couple of ratty t-shirts from high school, but that's pretty much it.
Robin pits the ACC friends. Champions for the first time, so
yeah. Really tried to have feelings about and failed. Yeah. I loved college. I had a great time in college. My best friends now are 90% people who I knew in college and was best friends with in college, but my loyalty is to them.
Right.
Yeah.
And, you know, I live in the same neighborhood that my college is in as a grown up. My husband works there. I feel I went to grad school there. I feel like it should matter to me a lot more than it really does.
Means to an end.
Yeah. I wouldn't change a thing, especially the part where I came out of it without debt.
Right. Seriously.
Yes. That has made my life the way I live it possible. So hail to Pitt.
If you went to Penn State, your ability to have these feelings was pretty thoroughly compromised a couple of years back. But even then, like, I guess there are some people who, like, are very sure of themselves and have, you know, the frat types or whatever, who are like, oh, man, I was college. What a party. What a great time. I was feeling good. I just had no confidence and didn't know what to do with my life. I had some good times while I was there, and there are things I remember fondly about those years, as there are things I remember fondly about any period of time.
Right.
But for the most part, I was like, yeah, that guy didn't know how to interact with people or make decisions for himself, you know?
Exactly. Yep. I feel like it's a rough gig to make somebody go directly from high school to college. I feel like if my kid wants to take a year off between the two, right, yes, please go for it. For me, I think I would have benefited a lot from just being able to just like breathe and try to figure out who the fuck I am before trying to decide what I wanted to do with the rest of my life, or try to like navigate these brand new waters of campus living, or, you know, just all of these fucking, just the organizations alone that everybody's trying to get you to join. It's more than enough to just be overwhelming.
Well, before I get into my sub rant, the Greek system is a criminal organization and it should be outlawed immediately. Before we get into that, let's just rate it and move on with our lives, shall we? I don't know.
Yeah.
I think I give it a 41 because I can't give it a lower score than Attack of the Clones. And Attack of the Clones got a 40.
I had the same thought.
I had the same score. I have 41.
And I'm going to go with 60. Because I can't give it a lower score than Attack of the Clones. And like, I had a fine time watching this movie.
Yeah.
It's just not good.
Yeah.
10 of my points belong to Colin. I don't know, 40 of my points belong to Colin.
Billy Crystal, you know, you don't see him every day anymore.
Sounds old.
He does.
He has an old man voice.
Yeah. I have mixed.
Some people
like
in
a
college
mixed bag.
Did. Don't you remember when people would be like balding and cranky and you're like, what happened? 47 1/3 is the score for Monsters University. We're sorry about our low ranking of your film. You're probably more upset about the lack of an Oscar nomination. And we checked the bingo card in advance. Nothing. We got nothing, everybody. Oh, there was. We have other segments. How about those? The trailer. How about the trailer to this movie?
Welcome to the scare floor.
I'm officially a college student!
Mike Wazowski.
James B. Sullivan.
Like Bill Sullivan?
He's my dad.
I expect big things from you.
I just need to ace my classes, graduate with honors, and become the greatest scarer ever.
The star player has just arrived.
You're my hero!
Yeah! Slow down, Squirt!
This is a party for scare students.
I am a scare student.
I mean, for scare students who actually, you know, have a chance.
Behold, my brothers of Uzma Kappa!
I'm Art!
Tell you, man, let's keep a dream journal!
I'm a dance major, and I'm not.
Not exactly the scariest group in the world.
Smile!
Hi, Mom!
The whole school is finally gonna see what Mike Wazowski can do.
Time to go to work.
Scary feet, scary feet, scary feet. The kid's in the bathroom.
Angry poodle. Jazz clown. My Aunt Phyllis. In the morning.
Hey! I want a piece of that action.
Tentacles and serpent's wings, they...
Can't wait to start scaring with you, brothers.
We're gonna rip you to pieces.
Same. Just like... I wanted to stop it.
Better than the movie because of Andrew W.K.
What? That's exactly what I wrote down.
What was Andrew W.K.?
The music.
Oh,
the party
music. I'm not familiar with that dude other than whatever. Yeah.
That's all there is to know about him.
It's just, yeah, whatever the cover of his album was, a bloody nose or something like that. I don't know.
Okay. He sang songs about partying.
All right. Well done.
He suddenly married Kat Dennings.
Okay.
I love watching that go across your face. Like, do I find this interesting? No.
What, one time I and most of the rest of the crowd ended up on stage with him at a show at Duquesne University, and he gave a thumbs up to my Phantom of the Opera t-shirt. And then I almost fell into the drum set and everyone had to leave.
Oh, God.
That's the trailer. Letterboxd was also a little iffy this week. There, a lot of like family-friendly spooky content lists. This is apparently a favorite of spooky parents who want to start showing their kids spooky things in a very safe way.
I wouldn't even this is not even like that for me. Like I wouldn't go here just because it's still just kind of, dare I say, lame.
Also,
like, I want her to like good shit. I want her to like good horror movies.
Right. Just toughen her up now. Start with Jaws and work from there. this was nice. A Letterboxd list called In Loving Memory of Carl Reiner, Movies Where Someone Says the Line, Secure the Perimeter. Aww. That was, Mel Brooks said that at some point, that almost every day he goes over to Carl Reiner's house to watch a movie, and we know it's a good movie if someone yells, Secure the Perimeter. This is a movie where someone says it. So
that's
there
nice.
You go. I'm enjoying the Mel Brooks 95 years old career resurgence. He's got a book out. They're doing a Hulu series. Good for him.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
I hope he's not. I'll just shut my mouth.
It's time for You Can't Handle the Truth. Robin, what's going on? Movies? Watching them?
Okay, so The Power of the Dog. Sean, that's your favorite movie of the year?
Yes. Listen, I'll establish before Robin speaks. Yes, it's my favorite movie of the year. I think it's great. But it's really easy to make me love a Western where people are sad. And that's what this is. But I do think it's really great. Now, I assume a different opinion.
Listen, it's really easy to make me love a Western where people are gay. Like, but something just didn't quite click for me. And I think it's because I don't like Benedict Cumberbatch. I think that my general ugh with that guy, the movie relies too strongly on you finding him to be a fascinatingly complex character. And I'm like, this guy fucking sucks.
Yeah, he does. But I found him a fascinatingly complex character. actually, the thing I loved about him most is I walked out like, I'm thinking about these four characters so much and I don't feel like I actually have a handle on any of them. And that can happen in a frustrating way. That can be like, you didn't define these people. To me, that was like, it was the opposite, where it's like, you did such a good job of making these people kind of ungraspable that I never really could anticipate what they were going to do or get where they were coming from, and just stayed hooked the entire time. But that character is a dick. And so if you are predisposed to think that the actor is also a dick, then you're going to have a tough time.
Yeah. And like, I don't know. I feel like I understand why she did it this way, but I think that the ending is just a little bit too abrupt and obtuse. Like, I feel like you shouldn't have to Google, did what I think happened at the end of a movie happen at the end of a movie?
I definitely did that, but in this case, I think it was like more of an out, like more of one of those, if you want to think this, you can. If you want to think that, you can think that too.
Okay.
But I am a sucker for this stuff. So I bet you if you average whatever score I would give it and whatever score Robin would give it, you would land on what you'll probably think of it.
Right. Like, to be clear, this is not a negative review. I just was, it was not my favorite movie of the year. And just to prove that I have terrible taste in movies, the movie that I am going to rave about right now is 1970s Airport. which I watched for my Oscars quest because Helen Hayes won her second Oscar for this, and it was also a Best Picture nominee. This is the movie that like kind of launched the like disaster movie wave of the 70s, and the movie Airplane is like a direct parody of it. I did not think about the movie Airplane at all while watching Airport because Airport is a banger. It is a awesome movie and it's on Tubi and you should watch it.
I've been curious about that one and now I am more curious.
Yeah. It's also very horny.
Yeah.
Everybody's banging. Why do people get horny?
Why is there horniness around planes? I'm like, my back hurts. I'm cramped. God. It smells bad up here. Let's just get through this.
Right. That's the other thing is that, like, you know, they show you these 1970 fake airplane seats, and you're like, God, flying must have been it's like a hotel in the sky.
Also, people dress nicer. They took some pride in what the fuck was going on when they took a flight back in the day.
My grandmother telling me how, like, you used to always wear your nicest clothes during plane travel, and I was like, what? And she was like, because you were doing something high class,
right? And I was just like, oh, God. Any schmo in a pair of old skids will just skids and crocs and just
you need those shoes that slide on and slide off.
I mean, I get it now. Like, I mean, I totally understand. I mean, people keep your fucking shoes on the plane though, seriously.
Oh yeah.
I do wear a blazer on a plane, not because I usually wear a blazer, but because one, you need more pockets because you're like, where is my gum? Where is my boarding pass? Where's my phone, my headphones? Two, if you dress up 3% over the people around you, they leave you alone and it's nice. Like the moment you are a little bit fancier than the person taking their shoes off, they just leave you alone, and that's what I want.
Exactly. Mm. Samesies.
Camila, what do you got going on?
I watched a lot of in preparation for a piece I was writing for an online piece. I watched a lot of Black Christmas movies. Christmas movies surrounding Black families, not horror Christmas movies. But because
Black Christmas is a good one.
But which I say that to say that I had never seen The Preacher's Wife before, and I watched it. And I love it. I love it so much.
I love that movie.
Like Denzel Washington. This is probably my favorite Denzel Washington I've ever seen.
So my mom loved the movie The Bishop's Wife. Mm. And so when The Preacher's Wife came out, that was like my parents never went to the movies, but like we bought that VHS sight unseen.
Oh wow.
Like it was like, we're gonna own this. And I watched it a lot.
But yes, I really enjoyed that. So that's going to be one of my new every Christmas movies. I watched Queen Pins. It's on Paramount Plus now. And something else too. I think maybe Showtime. It's a true story about a woman who was couponing and turned it illegal some kind of way, shape, or form. And I made all this fucking money about it, blah, 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 on it, blah, blah, blah.
With Kristen Bell.
Yeah, Kristen Bell.
Yeah, I saw an ad for this and I was like, okay.
Yeah. It was good, but just not as funny as I was expecting it to be. Like Kristen Bell, you know, it was fine, but I feel like the thing that got both Dan and I's biggest full-on laugh, where like we laughed for about a good 10 minutes afterwards, had to rewind the movie because we were laughing so hard. And I hate to think that I am, but I am a toilet humor broad apparently, because it was a poop joke and it was
funny.
But yeah, so it's worth a watch, I would say. Like it could go either way about hating it or loving it. And I also watched Venom, Let There Be Carnage, the second Venom. And I'm just going on to now see Venom as comedy, and that makes
that's right.
Yeah, that makes me like it a lot more.
Yeah,
but still, I don't know. I think I'm losing a little shine on Tom Hardy. I don't know. I don't know what's happening. I don't like it. I'm uncomfortable. I need him. I need him to be like in something really funky, like really soon. I think I hear that he's reprising his role on Peaky Blinders. That might help me. that might help it out a little bit. But I was a little concerned that there was no horniness on my part watching Tom in this film.
Talk to your analyst about.
Right. Exactly.
If you believe the discourse, it's because, you know, he and Eddie and Venom are in love with one another, so he's not
he's no longer available. I can see that he only has eyes for Venom.
Did you like it though? I did not get whether or not you enjoyed it.
yeah. I enjoyed it. Yeah. There was a lot of like I said, I just seeing it as a comedy more than like a Marvel action, you know, type thing. Yeah, I enjoyed it.
As Robin pointed out long before any of us saw the movie, it's easy if it's 90 minutes long.
Yeah.
It's like, get in, superhero fun, you know, couple laughs, couple action sequences, and we go home.
Yeah. Great. Awesome. Sure. Appreciate it.
I've watched so many movies, and most of them are very good. So what to... so you should watch Don't Look Up. Mm. I don't know if I decided it's good or not yet. Don't Look Up, for those that do not know, is Adam McKay, once, you know, the guy that directed Will Ferrell's movies, more recently the guy that makes smart, if very preachy, political message movies like The Big Short and Vice. And Don't Look Up is Leonardo DiCaprio and Jennifer Lawrence are scientists, and they discover that a comet is headed towards the Earth. And they have a lot of trouble getting anyone to care. It eventually becomes a one-to-one metaphor for humanity's response to the coronavirus. So by the end, it is really preachy. And actually, oddly, I walked out in a very down, like, humanity is doomed, we're too stupid to survive mood. Maybe that was the point. But along the way, it was really funny. And... Leo and Jennifer Lawrence especially are really funny, but it has a wild all-star cast with Meryl Streep and Kate Blanchett. There are more, Jonah Hill, more famous people in this movie than any other movie this year, all of whom are having a great time and are really funny. People clearly love working for him. It's so entertaining and full of famous people that you should watch it. I haven't made up my mind yet whether it achieved its goals or just made me feel like shit. I don't, and maybe those were the goals. We'll find out.
See, also, Adam McKay produced television series Succession.
Exactly. Right. Every week.
But it'll be on Netflix, I think, Christmas weekend. So go right ahead. And it is really funny. And at least two people are probably... Meryl Streep has a chance to sneak onto my ballot by the "It's Meryl Streep, why wouldn't she" rule. Mark Rylance has the same chance. Mark Rylance is kind of playing the Jeff Bezos of this universe and is really funny and really good. So throw it on your holiday weekend. I'll talk more about Nightmare Alley in the future. Guillermo del Toro's noir set in a carnival. The weird thing with that one was I walked out like, why don't I say this is the best movie I've ever seen? It's Guillermo del Toro making a spooky carnival sideshow movie. I should think that's the best thing I've ever seen automatically. And I think it's because it's really well made and really beautiful and well crafted and thoughtful. And I don't care about any of the characters even a little bit. It's that's kind of a side effect of a lot of film noir, where it's like, oh, everybody's a jerk. But everybody's a jerk combined with, like, Bradley Cooper, like, is not a person I inherently, like, love looking at. He's always just kind of there to me. I think it was really good. I don't know. I'm watching too many movies. Hey, you know what was great? The Harder They Fall.
Yeah.
That's three episodes in a row where someone confirms that The Harder They Fall is a good time. Camila said it, I think, the first time we talked about this. Like, I want to watch this guy's career.
Yeah.
Because, you know, whatever, like, slight setbacks there might be in this film, clearly this is a guy that, like, goes for it.
Yeah.
when he's going for it, like, and is a little bit more seasoned and has a few more reps in, it's gonna be amazing. But The Harder They Fall already is, because the cast is fantastic and it looks the production design and the art design, my god,
it's
just
sick.
Just stare at it. just make it a screensaver.
I know, every frame is a poster. I just kind of briefly looked over my Letterboxd diary for this year, and I would say, like, Harder They, I've got a tie between my two favorite new films that I saw this year. So it's between The Harder They Fall and Promising Young Woman.
In boring Oscar terms, Promising Young Woman is last year's film.
Whatever. I saw it in January or February.
I only bring up to let you go. The Harder They Fall, best movie of 2021. You're in the clear. Yeah, maybe we'll talk about our favorites of the year. Maybe we won't. Sometimes we do and sometimes we don't. It depends on what mood we're in, everybody. There's no rules. We make it up ourselves. It's a podcast. Yeah. Speaking of which, hey, it's the holidays. Sure, why not?
Allegedly.
Those sleigh bells jingling.
I mean, after the last 2 years, if you're like fully aware of what month it is and trying to like decorate your house appropriately, God bless. You're doing your brain is on straighter than mine, which is why usually we, you know, ramp up to some holiday specials a little more than we have this year, but we will still sneak one in. The next episode will be our seasonal spectacular, drawing from the holiday list. Now, here is the rule. Once again, we have some holiday movies that are indisputably, yes, that's a holiday film. And then we have how many left? Six left that are kind of Christmas movies, that are the movies you argue about. Is that a Christmas movie? If we land on a real one, that's it. That's the episode. If we land on a holiday light, we have to do that and a traditional Christmas movie to give you those warm feelings that you're looking for. And I'm hoping we just get a normal one, if for no other reason than because some of the holiday light ones are really long and we're going to record in a week. So, but lots of classics in here. So let's see what we get. This year's holiday special will include two movies because once you landed on holiday light, we're going Marvel once again, ladies and gentlemen.
Yay!
The sneaky Christmas movie, Iron Man 3.
Woo-hoo!
Yay! I love this movie.
You're just texting about it today, or tweeting about it today, Robin.
Yes.
In the holiday superhero subset, which is a short list, which we did last year, because Batman Returns is also on that list.
Yeah.
And this needn't even be the last one, because Shazam awaits as well, and Shazam is a pretty good movie.
Oh.
We got to do a double feature now. Next week will be a double feature.
Long Christmas vacation.
It will be Iron Man 3 and A Christmas Story. What a double feature
that's good.
That is.
Oh, when I saw Iron Man 3 classic. In the theater in Cape Town, there's that joke about A Christmas Story in there, and no one laughed because they don't have TBS, so they don't know what A Christmas Story is.
Nice. This is a good one. I like it.
I mean, it's not like we need to interrogate our feelings on A Christmas Story. You've seen it 50 times, whether you tried to or not.
Yeah.
I haven't seen it all the way through, maybe since I was in single digits age.
Really?
I don't know that. Now that you mentioned it, I don't know that I've ever sat and purposefully watched it all the way through.
It was never one of my movies, but I enjoy it, and I bought Mary Beth's dad a You'll Shoot Your Eye Out Kid sign for Christmas, and he really liked it and hung it up immediately. Well, hey, that's a good holiday double feature. It feels like we're getting the whole season out of the way quickly, and isn't that the meaning of Christmas? Get in, get out, get back home.
It is. Except now I've got, just when I was ramping down my whole Christmas cheer and whatnot, now I have a kid in the house who... was like, Paris. Hey, who's now understanding? Oh, I see. I get what's going on now. So every time a package comes to the door, she's like, "I want Christmas."
Smart. That's a sign of intelligence. Well, before we wrap ourselves in tinsel and bathe in eggnog next week, which will be a week. This will be a quick turnaround for this one. Monsters University was released June 21st, 2013. What was the number one song in America?
Was it Drake?
It was not.
Miley Cyrus?
No.
Taylor Swift?
No.
Katy Perry?
Any hint will give it away.
Is this when Uptown Funk was happening?
I don't think so. This might be Blurred Lines.
It is Blurred Lines.
Oh.
There it is.
Robin Thicke featuring Pharrell and T.I.
We did not steal that music.
Have you heard the original?
Right. Like, come on, son. Like, that's just like blatant and not like, okay. And Vanilla Ice is also original with his, yeah.
Yeah.
There's nothing new under the sun.
The turnaround on that song was so quick because within like a few months of me knowing what that song was, I was seeing the essays about like how skeevy and creepy and predatory the lyrics are. I didn't even get like, you know, the couple months to enjoy it. And I agree, that is such a creepy song. And I hadn't thought about it in like 5 years. And then I was in Vegas and I, you know, purchased a ticket to an evening of adult entertainment, perhaps. And before the, you know, the Showgirls thing, they had like a little like pre-show video set to that song. And I'm like, look, I already feel gross enough for being here. Can you not rub it in? Like, what are you like? We're all trying to pretend this is classy. Could you get Robin Thicke out of here, please? Number one movie in America.
Oh, God.